All right. There was a lot I wanted to cover in our 6 weeks. It's time goes by. Life goes by in a hurry, man. I tell you what, I take advantage of every day. I heard on the radio the other day, it said something I'm not going to get exactly right. Today turns into the good old days pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
So you want to take advantage. But I'm saying that because our time together is gone pretty quickly. Gone very quickly. I've got a lot I want to cover, and I'm going to default to getting it. I'd rather do a couple of things well than race through everything that I could cover. Is that all right with you?
Perfect. Yep.
And you said earlier on in an email you might want to continue. We can always, if you do that, we can always cover everything. All right. You sent me your practice overview. I like it. When I looked at it, there wasn't a whole lot to do on that overview. Just a few minor things. Now let's talk a little bit, and I know we've visited on this before, but it's powerful. What's on that practice overview, Chris, is really, really powerful. On one page, it's basic beliefs. That's really, really important. If you weren't in this business and you were looking for an advisor, you'd really want to know what made that person tick, what was important to that person. So you got that, the power of the basic beliefs. You got the power of client. What do I expect? Over time, you build trust. And you do that by doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. It takes time to build trust. Having said that, when you start off with, this is what you can expect from me, it kind of moves you up the scale as far as building trust. They say this is what he's going to do. They'll quickly find out that you do it. That's how you build trust. And then the third part is what you expect from clients. Very seldom do prospects are they told by the advisor what the advisor expects of them. The advisor is promising we're going to do this, this, and this, and sometimes they do it. Sometimes they don't, but to say, this is what I expect from you, Mr. Brown. I expect for you to honor our meeting and contact schedules. I expect you to introduce me to your other trusted professionals so I can be part of all the things that are on your practice overview. So having said that, I mean, this is a lot of power in one place. And the way that I would want you to use this, number one, I want you to use it with clients, as you're, And this is nothing. This is not a mass mailing. This is ideally, it's when you meet with your clients. Ms. Brown, I have put together an overview of my practice. I've done it for a couple of reasons. Number one, this is what I do. This is what my clients can expect. If ever you feel that I'm not delivering on what I want to deliver, please let me know so I can address it immediately. The other thing is, I also wanted you to have this because if you are with people who you think may be would benefit from being in my practice, I wanted to make it easy for you to specifically talk about what I do. So there you have it. That's how you use it with clients. Again, it's not a mass mailing. When you meet with clients, go over it. The second thing is with prospects. Again, you've made presentations to prospects. You've put together a great pitch book, all kinds of colors, bar charts, graphs, pie charts. And the way you finish that conversation is we've talked about a lot of things here that are really important. I also think it's important that you get to know me and know what you can expect if you're as a client of mine. This is who I am and what I believe. This is what you can expect from me, and this is what I expect from my clients. Again, it's nobody else is doing this. And then the third way you use it is with your centers of influence. These are These are people who refer to you, but they're not part of your practice. A CPA, for mm-hmm. example. Bill, you've mm-hmm. been kind enough over the years to refer people to me. Some of those folks have become really, really good relationships. I've made some refinements to my practice. I want you to know what those are. So if ever there would be an opportunity to refer, you could specifically describe what people can expect from me. And mm-hmm. give him a copy of it. So that's just, you know, it's always surprising to me, Chris, when I ask people to go through this exercise, the struggles that are there. Not because they don't have basic beliefs, but they just never thought about it. We all have basic beliefs. I didn't run into many unethical people in the 36 years that I worked at Merrill Lynch. I ran into some that weren't very good at what they did, but hardly did I ever have people I didn't trust.
Mm-hmm.
Here, so like, a long way of saying, I know people have basic beliefs, but they just don't take the time to know who they really are and how that applies to their practice. So that's the practice overview. I really want to. Okay, I'm finished with that. Anything you want to add or any questions?
No, I like it. I'm kind of a simple and sophisticated type of person, and I think that one pager is really, really powerful. So I completely agree, and I really appreciate you assisting me in putting that together, because that's kind of my style. You know, it's kind of I like the simple pieces, but has a lot of meaning to it. And I think that my clients, the clients that I attract, will like that too.
Well, after a while, your clients reflect who you are. I mean,
yes, yeah, for sure.
I had a guy that worked for me at Merrill Lynch who was LOS 50, and he and his clients,
wow.
I mean, they honest to goodness, his clients, they were his friends. They went to Vanderbilt basketball games together. You and your clients become very similar. Now, you just hit something that is a great thought. One of the things that's important to people who I retired 10 years ago next month from Merrill
mm-hmm.
Lynch. Simplicity is a big deal for me. If when you meet with people, prospective clients, I think bringing up I can simplify your life. Hold on, just one second, can you?
Okay, sure.
The key works for both.
Your show.
I did it.
Okay, we can't do it.
Well,
he told you not to push the button.
I did it and unlocked it. There's no question.
Okay.
We live out in the country, and there's a guy who has our property. We have 90 acres, and our property surrounds his house.
Mm-hmm.
It's up. We're trying to buy it from him, and my wife is over there with an appraiser because we don't know what to pay for it, and they can't get the door open, but they'll get it open. That's why I had to interrupt. You got to talk to people about simplifying their life.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important. I don't know if you would even work that into your practice overview, but we can. Part of what I do, Ms. Jones, is to simplify people's financial life.
Mm-hmm.
Just sounds good. All right. Why did you re-engage with Supernova? I mean, you spent some money. You've invested some time. Why did you do that?
I was kind of looking for just to make sure that the process was sometimes when you're working on it day in and day out, you kind of lose the bigger picture of it. You know, you're calling people, the files, you're updating notes, which was a big benefit of Supernova, by the way. Just a side note is that the client documentation, which I was always so-so at over the years, Boy, since the Supernova has gotten into place, I mean, it's just like every month there's a pretty in-depth, you know, pretty nice note on the system of what we talked about and been able to catch errors, you know, some errors on things and just be more thorough. But I think just looking at the bigger picture, making sure I was executing it correctly. And, I kind of think, put a re-emphasis on the growth aspect of it. I think sometimes what will happen with the Supernova, you get pretty content with your client base and, you know, what you're doing and kind of going through the I just wanted to make sure I just wasn't going through the motions and really kind of getting more growth-oriented with it because the revenues have been, you know, pretty flat for a couple years. And so that's what I wanted to kind of get kick-started a little bit.
All right. I'm making some notes. The reason I asked the question is I just wanted to make sure that I had been addressing the things that were most important to you. When I managed one of my jobs at Merrill Lynch, I managed the Providence, Rhode Island office for 3 years, and I had a really solid district director. And he had a phrase. Well, he had three words that he used to use. Those three words were more, better, and different. And here's how he used that phrase. He said if I went to a meeting and didn't come away with ideas on how to do more of something, do something better, or do something differently, I had probably wasted my time.
Mm-hmm.
If I weren't going to do more of something, do something better, or do something differently, I was wasting my time. Now, that was in 1992. Obviously, that it's still with me after all those years. As you look at your practice, and I've got some growth things I want to talk about, but I want to hit what's most important to you. Do you see anything, Chris, that you need to do more of? And I'm talking about process. You know, everybody wants to do more business. Do you see something you need to do better, or do you see something that you need to do differently?
I think that, those are two great words there, or three great words. So I think, the more I probably need to do, ask for more, you know, referrals, that part of it. I think the better is, I think I need to think of my infrastructure a little bit better, you know, in terms of trying to better my infrastructure, which will help me do more. You know, because it's all connected. And in terms of infrastructure, and that's one of the reasons why I think getting together with this team will kind of open up some sharing of resources. And they have a great they have a pretty well polished process. They do a lot of nice follow through with customer mailings and customer recaps for meetings and things like that. And as far as is doing things differently, I think the difference is that is the practice overview. I think that's different. I've never seen anybody. I haven't seen anybody present a one pager like that. It's always 10 pages. You know, it's not. It's always a nice. I mean, I love stuff like that. Just one page, boom, here. You know, and that's after you go through everything. But one page summarizing everything that you are passionate about, and then you can, you know, you can say it without just in a conversation. It's not like an elevator pitchy type of thing. It's like, hey, this is what I do.
Well, it's people don't. I wouldn't read 10 pages.
Yeah,
but I would read one page. That gets back to the simplicity. And
mm-hmm.
it even is more simple when it's done by bullets. If that were in paragraph form, I would be less likely to read it than it in bullet form. So
yeah,
it is powerful. Now, the issue about asking for beginning more referral conversations is a matter of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I think I shared with you, and let me look, I should have done this last night when I was doing all this. Didn't I give you something that the way you track referrals?
I don't think I remember that.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, while we're sitting here, I'm going to send it to you. And
okay.
And talk about it when it shows up. Bear with me. There's your name. And let me do the attachment. Well, they must have gotten in the door. My wife hadn't been back.
Yeah, if you have to go and make sure that's kind of it sounds like an important transaction, you can give me a call back or, you know, however that works. So you can.
It
you know,
is.
Don't,
the difference,
don't, yeah.
The difference between the bid and the ask on this transaction is stupendous. That's why we're getting a referral or
appraisal?
Appraisal done.
Yeah, if you want to run and check on it, you can call me back.
No. My wife runs a nonprofit. She does it very, very well. She doesn't need my help. Let's see. I'm looking for the referral. Bear with me 1 second. If I had my wife's people skills, I might have been running Merrill Lynch. She has the greatest people skills in the world. Let's see. Okay, referral tracking.
That'd be a big job. running Merrill Lynch.
It paid really well, and I don't think I'd have gotten sucked into the mortgage stuff. But that,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sending it to you. Let me gotta close it first. All right. Tell me when it shows up. I'm on a satellite because I'm in the country, so it may take
okay.
a while. All right.
Okay.
So what referrals are about is consistency. Clients don't wake up in the morning and say, "I got to give old Chris a referral."
Mm-hmm.
That's just not the way it works. They would like to give you a referral, but it's just not the first thing on their mind. So as
mm-hmm.
you as long as you are asking consistently, it usually works. Now, do you give referrals?
Do I give referrals?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, for example, I have a guy who works on my cars. He does great body work. He's retiring. So who did I call? I'm looking at an old MGB. Who do I
mm-hmm.
call to get a referral to find out who I should take my cars to? Well,
mm-hmm.
I call my friend and get a referral. He said, "Here's the only person I would trust." That's what he said. So people want, he would have never given me a referral if I hadn't called him and asked. So clients want to give you referrals. FAs make up the darndest things. If I ask, they're going to think my practice is in trouble. They're going to think blah, blah, blah. No, they don't. They just don't. It's not the first thing on their minds. So we've talked about, and again, I'm sure you talked about these things with Rob Brown. There are things that you just can't let get away that are so simple. When's the best time to ask for a referral or start a referral conversation?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, when it's brought up, you know, when something comes up, when they compliment you on something.
Exactly right. Where the best time is when people, when value is given and value is recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I really like the planning you're doing. I sleep a lot better at night because I know I'm on track. That is as we used to say in Texas, is a bird nest on the ground. You've got to take
mm-hmm.
advantage of it. And what do you do? Ms. Jones, thank you for saying that. I work really hard to provide that level of planning. You confirm that you heard it. Don't FAs a lot of times just deflect it. Oh, Ms. Jones, that's just what I do. That's not fair to Ms. Jones. She's giving you
yeah.
a present. You've got to thank her for it. Thank you for saying that. I work really hard to make planning a big part of my practice. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of planning? Now, again, referrals, when you, and I'm going to use a stupid example, but I mean, insurance agents use this. Give me names of three people who I need to talk to. That's not very effective, and frankly, I think it's, well, I know it makes me uncomfortable. It's just, who can I, you know, who do I need to be talking to? No, it's about helping people the same way that Mrs. Jones has just recognized as helping her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anyone else who would appreciate that level of planning? And again, I'll go through it quickly because I know you went through it with Rob, and she says, no, I can't think of anybody right now. And here's, that's what they're saying. They're not saying, you're ticking me off. I can't believe you're asking me this. Don't, no, they're not thinking of anybody right now because that's not what they're, that's not what they're trained to do. Chris, I'm drawing a blank. Well, do you have a minute to think about it? Do you have a minute to brainstorm? Sure. Well, you know, anybody you go to church with, play golf with, travel with, blah, blah, blah. Somebody you know who's retiring? Chris, I'm still drawing a blank. And your response is, and this is a very professional way to exit that conversation, thanks for thinking about it. Just know I'm never too busy to help people like you. Now,
yeah, and that'd be a great point to talk about that practice summary, too. Well, here's, you know, if anybody has any interest or if something comes up later on, it's a great. Feel free to share this.
Yeah, I just wanted to make it easy for you. If you run across someone who could use my help, I wanted you to have this so you could specifically talk about what I do. And, Ms. Brown, I also wanted you to have it because if I ever disappoint you versus what my practice is, I would consider it an extreme compliment if you would let me know so that I can address it immediately.
Ooh, that's a great one, yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, this is all that thing I just went through with you. It's from Bill Cates' book, Get More Referrals Now. It's chapter 11 or 9, I forget which. But I can say it in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just becoming a habit. Rob Knapp talks in his books, The Difference Between Discipline. No, it's Jim Lehrer. The difference between a ritual and a habit. The difference between discipline and a ritual. A discipline is, gosh, I got to work out. I hate working out, but I got to do it. I know it's important. You make yourself do it. A ritual is something you don't even think about. When you got up this morning, you didn't look at your calendar and say, you know what? It's Tuesday. I brushed my teeth this week on Tuesday. No, it's a ritual. You get up and you brush your teeth. It's just what you do. It's the same asking for referrals, beginning referral conversations. It's just what you do. Now, let's jump to this. Did you get that thing I sent you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. This is really simple, and I don't care what's at the heading. But what I want you to do is I want you before you, as you're preparing for a meeting with a client or you're talking with a client, you have their folder in front of you. If you look in there, and this thing is blank, that's an indication you need to think about this. If you've got a great client you hadn't had a referral conversation with in 18 months, you got to think about how to do that. You prepare for meetings. You go into meetings and you're really well prepared, but you're not preparing for a referral conversation. You're not walking in there being alert. I mean, people focus on the substance of the presentation, which is important. They need to practice or prepare for a referral. I've done is for folks who have trouble with that. Here's what I've recommended: go to Staples, go to Office Depot, and buy the ugliest paper clips you can find. They got them in bright pink, whatever, and put that paper clip on the outside of your folder, your client folder, so it reminds you to make sure that you're observant or not letting referral opportunities go by. They just stick it on there.
That's what I was thinking about, printing this out, put it in the Supernova files, and then, but that paperclip, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. I'm looking at my folders right now going, okay, if I saw a couple folders on there that I would, or a couple paperclips, I'd know what that is, especially the ugly ones.
Here's where you put this in your file, not the one you give to the clients in your file. You put it in the first part of the folder underneath the critical client information.
Mm-hmm.
Again, so you, now here's another thing you want to do is when you have a, it's, when you have a referral conversation, when somebody gives you a referral, you got to track. So, because you want to always follow up. Ms. Brown, I just want you to know I met with your sister. We had a lovely meeting, and we're going to continue to talk. You know, you don't give them the specifics, how much money and so on and so forth, but you circle back and tell them the result. Ms. Brown, I met with your dentist. He is really, really tied to, his brother-in-law works for, you know, Merrill Lynch, but we had a great conversation. Thanks for putting us together. You always want to circle back and let the person know who gave the referral what the result was.
But
if you're looking in here, and you also might say February 15th had a niche expansion conversation, and then make any notes, and then the result. Had a niche expansion conversation with Dr. Brown. Nothing came to mind. That way you can't have a referral conversation with somebody every time you talk with them. That's sincere. So you keep track of those conversations on the inside part of your folder. Now here's what happens to most FAs. They say, well, you know, I think I had a referral conversation with him like last March. Well, most of the time it's longer than that.
Yeah.
It's not that they're trying to deceive themselves. It's just that's what it seems. If you look in there, and the last time you had a referral conversation with one of your clients was 2014, that's good information to have. What you do with it is your decision, but you need to have that information. Now, let's go to a niche expansion conversation. I touched on this last week, and we didn't have time to go all the way through it. Do you remember the niche expansion conversation?
No, I don't.
Okay, this is easy.
Okay.
What's one niche you have in your practice? Doctors, lawyers, retirees?
I would say business owners. I have a lot of business owners, yeah.
Okay, give me the first name of one of your business owners.
John.
John, do you have a minute to give me some advice? It's that simple.
Oh, yeah.
John, do you have a minute to give me some advice?
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I'd love to. What do you need? Well, I would like to add more business owners to my practice. And then you have to come up with three reasons. I'll make them up. Business owners understand risk. They're busy running a business and need my help. And they have complex situations, which I enjoy working on. Here's the advice part. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more business owners? And then you shut up. I would bet every business owner you have knows another business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And what could the answer be? Well, Chris, I play golf with a couple of guys who own businesses. We play every Tuesday. Why don't you come out and have lunch with us? Or I work with there's a group of us that meet for coffee every Thursday. Why don't you join us? Or, gosh, my best friend runs such and such, and he was just saying the other day how disappointed he was in the service he's getting from Goldman Sachs, whatever. So it's that's how you expand a niche. You go to the people in the niche and ask for advice. Asking for advice is one of the main ways that you can influence people. And I'm not talking about manipulating people. I'm talking about influence people. If after this call next week I called you and I'd say, Chris, Rob Knapp and I are always wanting to refine what we do. Do you have a few minutes to give me some thoughts and some advice on our time together? There's no way you could take that except as a compliment. What am I saying?
Mm-hmm.
I value your advice. So you go to the business owner. Paul, do you have a minute to give me some advice? This is a tag on. Well, yeah, I'd love to give you some advice. What do you need? I'd like to add more business owners to my practice. You all understand risk. You need my help, and you have complex situations. I enjoy working with business owners. Here's the advice part, Paul. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more business owners? And he looks at you and says, I know what you're asking me, but I can't think of anything right now. What's your response? I said this 7 minutes ago. Thanks for thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just know I'm never too busy to talk to other business owners like you. And you've planted the seed. And you make your note in your folder for Paul. And you see that on the 24th of January, you had that niche expansion conversation with him. So now it's April, and you say, Paul, we talked back in January about my wanting to add more business owners to my practice. I asked your advice on how you'd go about doing that, or thought you had. Did anything come to mind? So you see how you always got referrals percolating. You always got that process percolating in your mind, in your practice.
Yeah, yeah, especially with that referral conversation notebook or the sheet there. It kind of keeps it in front of you. So you go, oh, hey, I remember talking about him or you know this and that. So, yeah, so it's always in the conversation. It's always part of the process type of thing.
It is. So, you know, you track everything. I mean, production, mm-hmm. we track production. If I said, where are you for the year? You would know exactly what I meant. I'm not asking where you're sitting. I'm not asking what state you live in. When I say to an FA, where are you for the year, what am I asking?
No, for probably growth revenue.
And if you don't know, if you don't know it exactly, you can come with a couple strokes on your desktop. You can give me to the penny. You got to have that same process with referrals. Talk to me about. I said, talk to me about your referrals. When's the last time you had a referral conversation with your best client? You open up the folder and say, well, Rob, I had a conversation with him in December. And if growth is important to you, and it is, you got to treat it with the same focus that you're treating your production. Make sense?
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you have two more minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Did you remember the enthusiastically endorsed question?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know your CPA, the CPA for all of your clients?
I would say probably not all my clients.
For the ones that you do have, do you know if they like the CPA?
They like the CPA. The ones that I know that who their CPA are, they like them.
Okay. Well, the enthusiastically endorsed question is really simple. Bill, I know your CPA is so-and-so. Is he someone that you could enthusiastically endorse?
Mm-hmm.
And the client is normally going to say, I don't understand your question. And then you got to tell them what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. I'll do it for my CPA. Returns my calls. He's aggressive. Within the law, he explained to me that as long as I don't understate income and overstate expenses, everything else is interpretation. He comes up with his tax saving ideas. He's terrific. And if you explain what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does to a client for a client, and your client you're talking to says, "Gosh, I'm not getting those things."
Mm-hmm.
Now what you have the opportunity to do is to introduce him to someone you know will do a good job for him. See, part of what you do is make sure that your clients have the very best professional help away from the things you do for them. Doesn't that sound good? Why do you want to know?
Yeah.
Well, Paul, the reason I ask is part of what I do for my clients is make sure they have the very best professional help away from the things that I do for them. That's just part of your brand. So it's a great question to ask. You need to ask it of every client. Obviously, if they say, I love my CPA, I get everything you described and more, your response is terrific. I'm glad to hear that. I would like to talk to your CPA and find out, I deal with a lot of good CPAs in the area. I always like to know the good ones. Do you mind if I pick up the phone and give your CPA a call and just find out what he does that excites his client?
Mm-hmm.
So either when you ask that enthusiastically endorsed question, and I know I'm going through it quickly, one of two things happen. you get to give a referral or you get to get in front of a CPA. Because if you got a call from a client, CPA, and the CPA says, you know, Chris, I get to work with a lot of advisors in the area. We have a common client, and he was in here singing your praises the other day. I'd like to get to meet with you and find out what it is you do that makes our common client so excited. Would you take the time to meet with him?
Oh yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah, but that demonstrates they will take the time to meet with you because CPAs are in the same business that you're in that there's no money in small accounts. They want complex cases because they can build some margin into complexity, just like you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
They'd love to have a relationship with you. So again, I've covered it quickly. Anything else you want to talk about?
No. Thanks, and that was a great wrap up. That was a good wrap up. I've took notes, and I will be calling you. Probably in the next quarter or so. And, I need to get some things kind of organized here. But then after I get it somewhat organized and get everything put to place, I want to kind of lean on you a little bit. I'll schedule some more calls with you, and you can kind of keep, you know, kind of make sure I'm going in the right path or the most efficient path for me to really maximize what I'm trying to do here.
Well, I'd be happy to do that. Here's what else I would offer you. As I mentioned to you last time we talked, almost all of our 90% of our business, I think 92% of our business that I was responsible for, was in teams. Mm-hmm. As you go through this dating period with this other team, if there are things, I mean, first go to your manager. I'm sure he or she's competent. But if you'd like to bounce it off me, just give me a call. I'd be happy to spend some time with you.
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
You got my phone number?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I have it, Rob. Thank you.
It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. You're a good student.
Thank you. Thank you. And you're a good teacher. I apologize for having to skip out on some of the December, but December's kind of a crazy month. And so, you will definitely hear from me again. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Let me know.
Good luck with that land deal too.
Well, I'm walking over there now. See you later.
Okay. See you later. Bye.